Well, good morning. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. We're actually going to start with the candle lighting, the rest of the, or the last candle here, which is the coming of Jesus. So let's sing verse one of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. And Jackie, if you just want to come up and light all the candles. I think it's number two in the folder. No, three. It came upon a midnight clear, the glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Amen. Thank you for doing that, Jackie. And there were others that helped, but they're not here this morning, so thank you for covering for them. So because of Christmas and everything, I didn't have, obviously, a whole lot of time to prepare, about an hour or so last night. So it's going to be a little bit shorter, more of a devotional this morning. But last time I preached, last month, we looked at how God revealed himself at Mount Sinai, and how that contrasted with how Jesus came. And we looked at some similarities, but mostly the differences there of how God presented himself, and how the main feeling was fear, and you know, the fear and the trembling that happened at Mount Sinai versus the joy and rejoicing that the shepherds experienced when they came and found Jesus after being told about it by the angels. And I've been thinking more about that since then, and I thought of one other similarity that I'd like to look at a little bit more this morning. And it's a thought that's kind of been sticking with me, and it's something that applies to both how God presented himself at Mount Sinai and how Jesus presented himself, or how Jesus came. And it's the fact that God wanted to reveal himself to begin with. And we'll kind of unpack that a little bit more of why that's even important. But, you know, we don't really think of that as that profound, because we know that that's part of God, of his character. He wants to show himself to us. He wanted to do that. And we see that at Mount Sinai, and that he came down to the people and he chose to explain what he wanted from them. And then also with Jesus coming and actually being born as a baby and living among us. But that's an amazing and a beautiful aspect of God's character, that he even wants to present himself to us. I've been doing some reading this week on kind of the Islamic view of God. Maybe part of it was, so right now, Kristen and Jesse, be my brother and sister-in-law in Pennsylvania, Jim's daughter. They're part of a group right now that's kind of hosting an Afghanistani family or an Afghan family that are refugees. They were brought in by, I think it was the Air Force, and were being kept at a military base and until a family could be found or a group could be found to kind of host them and get them settled into a community. So Kristen and Jesse are helping with that. It's a whole group of people. Obviously, they don't know the language, so everything is starting from scratch. So they've had opportunities to meet with them and try to help them kind of get settled in, found a house for them. Anyway, so I've been thinking about, like, maybe at some point we could do something like that. I don't know if God will ever open the doors for that or if God will put that on our hearts. But if he would, how would we show the love of God to those people? And there's plenty of resources online in terms of how the Islam view of God is and how that's different from Christianity. And I was doing some more reading on that. And two points that I've kind of taken away from it that relate to the aspect of who God is as far as how we view him and that he wanted to present himself. First one is the Islamic view of God places him completely separate from mankind. There's a veil behind him that can't be pulled away, and that's the choice of their God, of that God. Because he is so other and completely separate from mankind, there's no way to actually know him. You can do things to try to please him, but you can never actually get to know him and know for sure what he wants from you. And that's an aspect of I guess, the God of Islam that is very different from how the Christian view of God is. Second one is that the whole belief system of Islam is centered around there being one God. And we believe the same thing. There is only one God, but there is also a Trinity. So there's one God, but there's three persons of that God. And that is a very, I guess, heretical teaching to Islam or to Muslims. To say that there is three persons of God is, in their view, to say that there's three different gods or three different, three different gods. If you do any reading the Quran, it's very clear the whole way through. There is only one God and there's only one person of the God. And we'll look at why that's important a little bit later. But I had to think, if you were Satan and you wanted to pull as many people away from the true God as you could, how would you do that? This God that you hate has proven that he loves the people on earth. He said it with his words, but he also proved it by sending Jesus down and becoming one of us. And this God proved that Jesus is his son through prophecies. Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. We read this in our Advent. Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So it's prophesied. And then when Jesus comes, the angels announce it. There's that story that we read, Luke 2. And then when Jesus is a grown man, he announces it again with a voice from heaven. You remember the baptism? And then at the end of his time on earth, when Jesus is raised from the dead, that's obviously God again confirming that this is his son. And there's thousands of people that witness this. It's one of the most, I think historians would say, it is the most well-documented event in all of history. The coming of Jesus, the Jesus living among us. So it's pretty hard to refute or say that there was no Jesus because it's so well-documented and there were so many witnesses to it. So it's pretty hard to just say, well, that whole Jesus thing, that's nothing. So how do you convince people to reject this Jesus, if you're Satan, and you want to pull as many people away from this as you can? Jesus is offering a free gift of salvation. Through his coming, he presents a way to take away our sins, to come to this God that loves us. How do you convince people to reject that? And I think one of the ways you could do that is to instill this idea that there is only one God and that there cannot be a Trinity, going back to Islam. So somehow you have to account for this Jesus. Well, the way that they do that, the way that Islam teaches, is that Jesus was a prophet of the one true God, but was not part of the Godhead. So the things that he did were because this one true God gave him the power to do it, but that he was not part of that Trinity. He could not have been God among us because there is only one God and there's no way that he comes down to us. And then you could convince people to just do all the right things, you know, pray 5 times a day, follow a bunch of laws, and then this God might have mercy on you. You don't know for sure, but he might. In the end, he may choose to show mercy to you and give you eternal life. But you have to separate this God from people, and so you have to separate God from Jesus. The problem is that Jesus proved otherwise. He did want to be among us, and he proved that theory wrong. He proved that God does actually care about you, and he loves you immensely. So you have to do something with this Jesus. And like I said, the best thing I think you can do is to say that this Jesus was just a prophet of God. He was not actually God. And that's why the idea of Jesus being God is such a central and important part of what the gospel is, of what salvation is, of what we believe as Christians. The idea of the Trinity is a very complex and hard to grapple with idea, I think, for maybe not so much for us because it's just been part of our lives, but how do you explain what the Trinity is? How can you have one person or one God but three persons of that God and they still are one? The sad thing is billions have believed that Jesus was not God. He was just a prophet of God. And Islam does teach that Jesus was one of the prophets, and he's held in, you know, decently high regard, but he was not God. So just going back to the thought of Mount Sinai and then comparing that to Jesus' birth again, the similarities there of God coming down, even though Mount Sinai looks like a scary experience and not something that I would maybe want to associate with this loving God, because we just kind of see the fear and the danger, the fact that God chose to reveal himself at all is an amazing gift. And it's something that I don't think we appreciate enough, that God even told us what he was expecting. Now, obviously, we couldn't live up to it, and he knew that, which is why Jesus had to come, and that was in the plan from the beginning. But the fact that he even revealed what he wanted and did it directly with his own voice. Mount Sinai, he actually talked to the entire nation, which is the first time he talked to more than just one person at a time, from what I could tell. I guess I didn't dig into that for sure, but as far as I know, that was the first time that God spoke to an entire group of people. Before that, it was always just to one person, and that person had to reveal it to other people if it was something that was for a group. But God showed that he loved this group of Israelites enough to come speak to them directly. But that was still only for the Israelites, and that's where everything changes with Jesus coming. The story of Jesus coming, obviously we've looked at it throughout this Advent season, but there's an aspect of it that I had never really thought about before, and that's the story of the wise men. And I'd like to just read that. I don't know if we've actually read it, that account. I guess we didn't really last Sunday. But if you want to turn to Matthew 2, verses verses 1 through 12. So Matthew 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that had been seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." I think you're all familiar with that passage. Obviously, you've probably heard it many times. But something that kind of hit me this year is the fact that these wise men came from far away. What is that different about all the other times where God revealed himself to people? Well, the difference is that in this case, he was doing it to somebody who was not a Jew. Now, you could maybe make the argument that it's not known whether Job was a Jew necessarily, or it would have been before God really came to Abraham. But since the covenant had been made with Abraham and God brought the Israelites through and kind of made them his chosen people, he had always spoken to and through them. There was never an opening made for, I guess, what you would call the Gentiles. But this story of Jesus coming, this is the first time where God reveals himself to somebody who is not a Jew. And just think about what that meant. Obviously, we know the rest of the story, that salvation was opened to everyone. But the fact that God made the coming of Jesus from the very beginning, he opened it up to everyone, at least in symbolism, by showing it to these wise men who had nothing to do with, maybe they had something to do with it because they did have the teachings, but they were not from Israel. It says they were from the east. And we don't really know a whole lot about them, except that they probably had to have been fairly educated, and to know that this was a new star, they would have had to have charts and stuff to recognize it. There's no indication that anyone else really noticed this star. So apparently this was part of their job, was to track this and to understand it. And you have to think that their goal in that is to understand something greater about creation. And so they were looking for this thing, or for changes at least, and recognized it. So it points forward to something that we'll see later. But right here, as the wise men come and worship Jesus, the first account we see of people coming to worship Jesus were shepherds, who were kind of the lowest on the, I guess, the totem pole of the classes at that point. So God makes his presence known to shepherds, and they come and worship Jesus. But then we see the opposite end. You know, Jesus was the king of the Jews, but then he is also the king of kings, and we see that with Jesus being worshipped by these three wise, well, we don't know if it was three actually, but we assume, I guess, three wise men. And most likely they were actually employed by a king somewhere else to be able to have the time and the access to these charts that would have had to have been recorded from long before them, and be able to follow what the stars are doing and all that. So it points forward to what happens next in the story of Jesus, and that is being rejected by the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, and then through that, salvation being open to all of mankind, all the nations, which is promised to Abraham that through his offspring all nations of the world would be blessed. And I never thought about the fact that the wise men point forward to that, and it's part of the whole story of what Jesus came to do. So that's, I don't know, I guess that's just some thoughts that I've had this season. And I guess I would just encourage you to be thankful for that. You know, it's the fact that Jesus came and revealed who God was to us, and that God even wanted to make himself known to us, is something that I think we should be incredibly thankful for. And just that love and the kindness that he showed to us by Jesus coming to earth is something that we should not forget about and not take for granted. And as we think about sharing that good news with maybe eventually Muslims, consider how the God of Christianity is, I don't know, he wants to make himself known to you and I, but also to people who don't even believe in him yet. And we have an opportunity to potentially be an avenue to do that. So that's all I have. We wanted to just do a little bit more singing. Hopefully you're not tired of it yet. Boy, we only have 5 minutes, so I guess we better sing fast. But if you have any favorite songs that we didn't get to this season, we'll just open it up maybe for you to share that and try to sing those together. Are you ready? We didn't really prepare anything. So I'll just open it up for you if you have a song. Actually, maybe while you're thinking about that, why don't we sing O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem? I don't know if we sang that one. It goes with our theme. That's number 2 in your folder, I think. For most of you. A beautiful star. Ladies, could you do verse 2 on this one?
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star. Oh,
Right. 217. Yeah. You have the books. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, what was the song again? Hark the Herald. Okay. Five. Should we do verse 4 and 5? Come, desire of nations, come. Yeah, let's just do 1 through 3.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies.
Keep it too long, but anyone have one more? 231? Okay. Yeah, I actually had this one on my hopefully we could sing it list.
Star of the East, O Bethlehem star, guiding us on to heaven afar. Sorrow and grief are lulled by thy light, thou stop of each mortal in death's lonely night. dimmed by each cloud. What if the storms of grief gather loud? Faithful and pure, thy rays beam to save, sunlight o'er the cradle and bright o'er the grave. Smile as a Savior are reared in thee. Glimpses of heaven in light we see. Guide us still onward to that blessed shore. After earth's toil is o'er, star of the east, the hope of the soul, while around us the dark billows roll, fear from sin to glory afar, thou star of the east, thou sweet Bethlehem.
Amen. Hope you can just continue to worship God and thank Him for sending Jesus, even though Christmas is over, and we look forward to a new year. Remember the beauty in that, the fact that God chose to reveal Himself to us and did it by becoming one of us. It's a beautiful thought. Why don't we just stand, and we'll have a closing prayer, and you can be dismissed. God, we just thank You this morning for what You did for us in sending Jesus, and that through that we can be delivered from sin and brought into a new kingdom. Like we heard about this morning in our Sunday school lesson, that You have made us part of something much greater than the kingdom of this world, and that we have eternity to look forward to with You, and that You will come back and reign forever on the earth. We just worship You this morning and thank You for revealing Yourself to us and making Yourself known to us and drawing us to Yourself. Just pray that You would bless each one here and everyone that can't be here this morning too, and just go with us this week. Continue to bless us. Thank You again. In Jesus' name, amen.